Broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Peter King. Republicans are demanding President Biden reinstate Trump-era immigration restrictions, often called the Remain in Mexico policy. House Speaker Mike Johnson tells CBS News current policy just isn't working.
The catch-and-release program has created part of this problem. You could end catch-and-release.
Johnson has led a large group of GOP lawmakers on a visit to Eagle Pass, Texas, one of four border crossings reopening today as the Biden administration sues Texas over its immigration law. Here's KRLD's LP Phillips.
The Biden administration wants the new law, known as SB4, enjoined so that it doesn't take effect in March. The law was signed last month, giving judges the right to remove non-citizens from the country and mandating that law enforcement officers carry out the order. In the suit, the feds say Texas has no such authority, that immigration is a federal matter, and that the supremacy clause is on the federal government's side.
CBS News is among organizations combing through more than 900 pages of documents pertaining to Jeffrey Epstein, who died from suicide after his indictment on sex trafficking and other charges. The papers contain names of alleged victims and people connected to Epstein. Attorney Joseph Tully says many of those connections may have nothing to do with the sex cases against him.
Not everything that he did was criminal. He did a lot of philanthropical work. So it could mean that he did legitimate work with people who were out to do something good.
This is a day of mourning in Iran after explosions killed more than 80 people and left hundreds more injured in the city of Kerman. Nobody has claimed responsibility for the attacks. We could learn more about the Colorado funeral home owners accused of improperly storing nearly 200 bodies for years. CBS's Matt Piper.
John Halford and his wife were arrested in November after investigators say they discovered dozens of stacked bodies, some that had death dates as far back as 2019, in their funeral home. In all, police say 190 abandoned bodies were found decomposing in their facility. Today, prosecutors are expected to put forth new details, including the pair allegedly forging death certificates and sending families ashes that were not of their loved ones.
It looks like that projected snowstorm for the East Coast is weakening a bit, but CBS News meteorologist David Parkinson says there'll still be some sloppy weather as the system moves in toward the weekend.
And then as we move into Saturday, that's where we're watching the mess come together. You're seeing at 6 p.m., it's likely rain over the nation's capital. It's snowing in Pennsylvania and Ohio, and there's a whole lot of rain and potential flooding down to the south.
He says snow is likely inland, but Washington, Philadelphia, New York should escape the worst of it. Ahead of the opening bell, S&P futures are up 1 1/3. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
About 1,000 people in Wisconsin died from COVID-19 last year. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
Bucks lose in Indiana. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks fell short again, losing to the Indiana Pacers 142-130. Milwaukee's Damian Lillard had 23 points and was asked if he struggles against the Pacers defense.
I had some opportunities that I liked. I just didn't make them. You know, I wouldn't say it was a struggle because of them. You know, I had opportunities that I liked that just didn't go in. That's part of it.
College football, Badgers linebacker Moma Najimeta says he will not return to Wisconsin. The defensive team captain says after 5 years, it's time to move on to the NFL. The Packers play the Bears Sunday. Quarterback Jordan Love named the NFC Offensive Player of the Week after his performance against the Vikings Sunday night. Center Josh Myers.
I can't say enough about him and the job that he's done. It's like every week he's more comfortable running the offense, leading the offense. God, he's making decisions quick. Just excited for him, man. I think that's the general consensus of everybody in the locker room. I mean, he's an amazing guy.
That's Packers center Josh Myers with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Mostly sunny today. We'll get to around 27 for a high this afternoon with wind out of the southwest at 5 to 10. Tonight it'll be clear. We'll drop to 16. Tomorrow cloudy, 32. Some light snow is possible tomorrow night. And then on Saturday, mostly cloudy, high of 34. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently it's 21.
local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Locally grown radio from Vesper to Plover, we are your home for news, talk, and sports. 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wasota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlove.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It's 6:06 on this Thursday morning, January 4th. Once again, another beautiful day to have you up here, up north, live from Lake Wasota. From wherever you're listening across the Civic Media Radio Network, on the Civic Media app, or through our social media feeds. If you're listening on demand by podcast, thank you for subscribing and taking us along on your day, even if you couldn't get out of bed super early like the rest of us who are doing this through live radio. But we're not whining. Wait, I haven't had my first sip of coffee yet. Greg Bach is standing by to say good morning to folks while I do that.
Good morning, everybody. Pat's now drinking coffee successfully.
And that's not a small thing today.
Yeah, right. I know.
You know, first week back, you know, is rough enough. By the time you get to Thursday, you're just like, oh, wow, do I remember how to do this?
Yeah.
Do I want to do this?
I board opt Asgo's Wisconsin last week. Mm-hmm. For the first time in a while, and I'm like, buttons pressing, things go boop bloop bloop. I know it, music and radio.
It is, it's been a tumultuous week, you know, behind the scenes as well in some ways, yeah. And so some things I was working on the music segment early this morning instead of yesterday, which I could see in the Google document. I could see that Greg was in the Google document, and if there was a little thought bubble over his little avatar, it would have said, why is this page blank? because it's like, you know, do you remember doing the homework on the bus on the way to school in the morning?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, that's we get that sometimes here too, and that's fine. By 8 o'clock, you won't even know that it's our first sip of coffee was just now.
You're like, this was the most professionally run show I've ever heard in my life.
Yeah, that's exactly what it's going to be like. We'll take a poll afterwards, and we'll see if people think that that's the case. Here's what's coming up this morning. We're going to talk about Toxic Tom and the next caravan, because to hear the congressman from up north tell it, another one of those infamous migrant caravans is coming, and this time it's coming all the way to the Chippewa Valley. So we'll explore the mistruths and the motivation behind this latest attack on refugees. We'll visit with our friend Joe Zepecki, who normally joins us on Thursdays at 6:30. We'll also talk to Mark Jacob, who normally joins us on Friday, but we have a couple of special guests tomorrow. So Mark was kind enough to join us today. He'll be on at 7:05 talking about the way the media has covered some of this week's big stories. Kristen Lyerly will join us throughout the morning. And Kristen's going to be kicking off a new year by talking about the ways that her New Year's resolution is to, you know, lift up and encourage women who might be considering some big public changes in 2024. It might be a run for office. It might be finding other ways to get involved in improving the state of our communities and the state of our political bodies. So we'll visit with Kristen about that. Luke Mathers will join us as well. And you can join us too at 844-967-2789. Again, 844-967-2789. Call it, text it, use the app to call us or text us, leave a comment on social media, or email us, radio@upnorthnewswi.com. 6 o'clock temperatures around the state look like this, and they're all about 10 degrees colder. And this is the range where 10 degrees colder makes a big difference. You might want to make sure folks heading to the bus stops or off to work, have that scarf to go along with the jacket. It's 19 here on Lake Wissota, 16 in Hayward, 15 in Park Falls. Wausau clocks in at 19, Green Bay 21. La Crosse is at 27 right now, Wisconsin Rapids 22, Oshkosh 25, Madison 21, Waukesha 25. Waukesha is where we find Mr. Bach as well, who, if you've missed the housekeeping around Civic Media, we have been gushing in a congratulatory way about the departure of our friend Kristen Bry, who has some great new things that she's going to talk about later. But one of the best things that happened to Civic Media, besides Kristen joining us, was then bringing Jane Matinere back into radio, a Milwaukee radio legend. Well, Jane is now going to occupy that mid to late morning spot along with Senior Bach. Is she calling it Matinere on air or on the air? Matinere on air. And Greg's kind of there as well, going, you can do this. I will help you. You're like the Pancho Sanchez? Something like that. You can just tell we're wallowing in American literature today here, aren't you?
I mean, first of all, that was just a spot on replication of me. Your impressions. Did you go to drama school? Because that was really good. I was
no.
I am her Robin. I am her other sidekick. I'm her Ed McMahon. Honestly, Ed McMahon minus the drinking problem.
I was going to say a little bit more coffee, and we're going to be able to rattle off some of these second bananas,
folks. Like, yeah, exactly. Yeah. I'm her Joe Biden.
I like that.
There you go.
That's good. Yeah, you're saying by the time you get your own show, you're going to be too old to do it. Or
I'm going to say I will when she's done. I'm like, you know what? I'm good. We'd go, and then in 4 years' time, I'm going to come back going, I want that show.
I don't know Jane's age. I know that she and I have both been in this game for a long time.
Yeah.
And as I was chatting with friends about plans, and I've certainly talked about repeatedly about turning 60 this year, and that I said I could definitely see a point where people of our generation don't just slide away. We are going to ride off triumphantly into the sunset at some point. We're going to plant our little retirement flag and gallop away, but not this year and not next year either, by the way. There's a lot of work to be done. Part of what Kristen's going to be talking about. 2024, Kristen Lyerly, I should say, 2024, 2026, a couple of busy years coming up in Wisconsin.
Oh, yeah.
And I mean, we already started that yesterday with our League of Women Voters discussion, about voting, absentee voting and things like that. Maybe with Kristen Lyerly later, we'll talk about this. But I've had a continuing string of doctor appointments since having my annual physical last month.
Okay.
And, I've already mentioned, on air, like, for example, the colonoscopy is right around the corner, and that's, again, Dr. Lyerly does this great job of helping women feel comfortable about their health and going and taking care of their health and talking about these things on the radio. I'm not prepared to talk about everything that's happened to me at this point. I will just say, if men had to get pregnant, the human race would be doomed as far as our pain threshold for dealing with certain things, shall we say. But they're all important, and that's the reason I bring it up, is not just because it's embarrassing to talk about, you know, the male body first thing in the morning, but it's an important thing to get everything checked, whether it's your prostate, your, your kidneys, or, you know, you name it. These are things that have to be looked at. Sometimes it involves, you know, some things done with medical instruments that you really didn't think would be done unless it was happening to Mel Gibson in Braveheart or something like that.
Sometimes it's just done with some fingers too, buddy. I mean, there's the old TV show Mad About You, when Helen Hunt is pregnant with their child, and Paul Reiser's character just goes, "Honey, if I could, I would take this for you." And he goes, and she says, "I'll never forget this line." She goes, "Oh, you'd have one contraction and kill yourself."
Oh yes. and I'm saying that to the doctor and the nurse yesterday, saying, in between going ow over the other thing that
they
were doing.
Buy me dinner first.
Yeah. But they know, as the husband of an OBGYN, it's like, I'm not going to complain. But I also know, for all the years that I've been on earth, how women, God bless them, not only will have one baby, but then after going through all of that, they'll have another. And sometimes another, even though they've been through what labor is like.
Does your wife and Dr. Lyle get together and just like, you just sit there just sipping your drink going, I don't know. I have no idea. I have nothing.
Not the two of them together per se, but obviously, you know, I've known Sherry since, you know, she was in college so long before med school. So all along the journey, I've been part of these conversations, and I, you know, again, have nothing but appreciation for what they do and for the importance of women's health, which is why we speak out about it so much. And men are babies by comparison. They are. But in between laughing about it is where I want to get the message through of how important it is to go through with the things that you have to do to make sure that you stay healthy. Because the women who love and appreciate us, believe it or not, actually want to keep us around, despite what jerks we can be, especially when we're having like a terrible cold or something and going, "Oh, I think I know what you must be going through with labor pains because I feel so bad."
"Honey, I stubbed my toe. Get the Neosporin."
That's exactly what it is. You know? All right, let's take a quick look at sports here. Just about 6:17 now. The Bucks lost last night in Indiana, 142-130. And so, if I'm not mistaken, this means the Bucks have now lost to the Pacers four times this season already and only beat them one time. And the Bucks road trip continues tonight against San Antonio. The Badger men's basketball team will host Nebraska on Saturday. Packers Bears. That is Sunday at 3:25. And by the way, I saw yesterday this game's going to be on CBS. I still don't know exactly the details on how the TV schedule got reconfigured. It used to be that, you know, AFC games were on CBS and NFC games were on Fox. And if it was a inter-league game, interdivisional, then the visiting team, their network would be the one to cover it. And now it's like they threw all the rules out the window. So. Yeah. Yeah, so when I saw it was going to be CBS announcers, I thought, well, that's odd, and there'll be many a bar or a restaurant looking for the game and not being able to find it for the first 5 minutes.
It's what streaming network is it on? Wait, it's on
right. Yes.
TV?
Actual television, just a different network? Yes.
All I know is I still have to pay like $1 million a year to watch a baseball game on TV.
I know. And because they can, they'll get you and get just enough of you to do that. One more sports note, the Badger men's hockey team, still nationally ranked on a 7-game win streak right now. And second in the Big Ten, they are at Notre Dame this Friday and Saturday. Coming up next, we're going to talk about the remarks being made, not just about people trying to enter the country from our southern border, but people from war-torn regions around the world and elsewhere, and some of the ugliness that should really be replaced by a welcome mat here in the land that immigrants built. Wherever you're listening across Wisconsin on this Thursday morning, when you're here, you're up north, back in just a little over 60 seconds.
Locally grown radio, WFHR. Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. This includes a commitment to news. Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station.
When I first had my baby, I'd get comments all the time about how happy I must be. I remember thinking, I want to be happy. Why don't I feel that way? It was hard to admit that, even to my doctor, but I'm glad I did. She told me it was postpartum depression, and that is very treatable. These days, things are feeling good, and we're both happier about that. Right, little man? I'll take that as a yes.
Mental health care is working for Simone. See what it can do for you at mentalhealthcareworks.org. A message from the American Psychiatric Association Foundation.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
The group Yes released Roundabout on this day in 1972. We will have more of today's history lesson and music memories coming up in just about a half hour from now. Up North News has a daily newsletter that you can subscribe to. You can do so over at our website, upnorthnewswi.com. Click on newsletter in the banner on top of the page. Christina Lurie's newsletter this morning talks about the year's best sports headlines that had nothing to do with winning, but we're more about some of the good people and the uplifting stories that are a result. That and much more at our newsletter. Again, upnorthnewswi.com. All right, well, the congressman from up north appears to be at it again. Tom Tiffany is showing us for the 11D gazillionth time that he has no interest in being a public servant who works on issues that matter to regular folks in his district. He has always been about big business, but in order to get and stay in power to advocate for the wealthy and the corporate, he focuses on fear and division at the local level. Normally, he does this at the southern border, which is odd since his southern border is the Chippewa County line, but normally he's talking about folks trying to come into the country. Oftentimes, moms and dads are the people that he's demonizing. People whose lives are in danger. People who are seeking shelter, who are seeking safety, who are seeking a chance to work. He calls these vulnerable families an invasion. And the thing is, he knows better. He knows that Wisconsin agriculture, for example, would absolutely collapse without the undocumented immigrants that are here already. And would they like to be documented? Would they like to be legal? Yes. But Tom Tiffany, like nearly every other Republican politician these days, has no interest in actually solving the problem. So long as they can block any immigration solution and continue demonizing these outsiders, he gets to win elections and stay in power, cutting taxes for billionaires, encouraging polluters, comforting the comfortable, and afflicting the afflicted. Now Tiffany has an issue at his actual southern border here in the Chippewa Valley, because next door in Eau Claire County, there's a caravan coming, an invasion, to hear him tell it. Two nights ago, he told a county board committee here all about it. Now, who are these scary people behind this caravan? They're a Christian humanitarian organization called World Relief. Now, for those folks who might need a refresher, humanitarian organizations help humans in dire need. Actual dire need. Not dire need like, well, you used to like Bud Light, but then they let someone do their commercials that you don't like, so now you're a victim because you have to find another beer to drink. No, that's not dire. Dire is your hometown has been blown up, and your neighbors are lying dead and maimed all around you in a war zone. They were living nice, normal lives, working hard, raising kids. Then something they didn't seek out happened to them. If it had happened to you, you'd be looking for a little humanity. And that's where humanitarian groups step in. One of them, World Relief is looking to provide the resources so that 75 people in dire need can get out of danger and start over someplace, raise a family, work hard, become part of a new community. But of course, as soon as you slap a label on them, refugees, now they're too dirty or too dangerous for you to remember. They're not actually that much different from you, except that your city didn't get blown up. But to hear Congressman Tiffany and some others tell it, the Chippewa Valley can't afford to support humanity. And even if it weren't about the money, what about vetting these refugees? By the way, side note, the odds are quite good that your ancestors were looked down upon as refugees when they came here, leaving famine or poverty or violence, when all they wanted was safety and shelter and a place to work hard and raise their kids. According to the Eau Claire Leader-Telegram, Congressman Tiffany said in Chippewa County about the vetting process, quote, "It really is a different system of migration coming into our country at this point. It's not an understatement at this point to say our country is being invaded." That's not an understatement, Congressman Tiffany. That's a lie. The system being used by a humanitarian organization overseas in this effort in Eau Claire is different than the chaos that we see at the southern border, chaos that is directly the result of people like Tom Tiffany and Ron Johnson and others actively working to undermine any effort at immigration reform year after year after year. But back to World Relief and their plans for the Chippewa Valley, as explained by the group's vice president in an interview with WQOW, refugees are people who are invited by the U.S. government while they're overseas. They are vetted overseas in a process regulated under U.S. law. It authorizes programs and assistance for domestic resettlement to refugees. It says that the Office of Refugee Resettlement will meet with the agency, the humanitarian groups, as well as state and local officials. Those meetings have been going on for months, looking at data related to housing, employment, demographics, and more to be sure that any given community is a good fit and that these folks will not become a burden to the community, but could put down roots and be beneficial to the community. Except that, as often happens through American history, there's always a few folks ready to yank the welcome mat. Which brings us to Chippewa County and a proposed resolution before the Chippewa County Board that wants a moratorium on refugee resettlement, you know, until we can figure out what does it cost us money-wise to be humanitarian. I've no doubt that the move to get a moratorium passed by the Chippewa County Board is because they tried to get one passed in Eau Claire, and the county board voted no by a 2-1 margin, 18-9. Fun fact, by the way, when it comes to passing a moratorium, Wisconsin used to have something called a mining moratorium that said if you wanted to put a mine in Wisconsin, well, there's a moratorium unless you can prove you've operated a mine for years somewhere else, that it was closed and capped and didn't pollute for several years. If you prove you can mine responsibly, you can mine. But if you can't, there's a moratorium. Except there's not anymore. You know who blew up that moratorium? Toxic Tom Tiffany. Now he wants a moratorium on immigration, and he's bringing that same toxic language to a discussion over welcoming people in distress who've been vetted, because making some people scared of other people is how people like Tom Tiffany win elections. Not by actually doing something to, say, address the crazy big shortage of workers, you know, through things like immigration reform. Now, I know the response is going to be, we're not against those people. We're just looking for more information. Okay. Just don't count on me to be surprised if after you've received some information, you say you need some more and then some more. And even then, you still have concerns. The way other people had concerns about your great-grandfather. I mean, after all, look at him. He's Irish, or he's Jewish, or he's Asian. He doesn't look like a hard worker. He looks like somebody who's going to come here and just collect a check to do nothing, when the story of immigration in our country is anything but. I would contend that if you want to talk about someone who isn't a hard worker, who just wants to collect a check to do nothing, I have a congressman I could tell you about, or some legislators. Maybe the moratorium should be on stunts that target human beings in need when there's real work that these politicians could be doing instead of photo ops and stunts. Joe Zepecki joins us next. You're up north.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
CBS News brief. Republicans demand President Biden use executive power to fix the border crisis. House Speaker Mike Johnson in a CBS News interview.
On his first day in office, President Biden came in and issued executive orders that began this chaos. Remain in Mexico is one of them.
The GOP wants it reinstated. A judge releases documents containing the names of Jeffrey Epstein's alleged sex trafficking victims and others connected to him. CBS's Nancy Chan.
Nearly 190 J. Does were mentioned in these documents. They're tied to a civil lawsuit against Epstein's accomplice, Ghislaine Maxwell, who is now serving a 20-year prison sentence.
It's a day of mourning in Iran after explosions killed more than 80 people and left hundreds more injured in the city of Kerman. It's the BBC's Grant Ferret.
Within hours of the attack, the leadership in Tehran blamed Israel and the United States. Ayatollah Ali Khamenei talked of a severe response and retribution.
CBS News Brief. I'm Peter King.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wegehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Workers at Planned Parenthood of Wisconsin are working to form a union. They're being represented by the Wisconsin Federation of Nurses and Health Professionals. They say that unionizing will help improve their working environment and enhance patient care. They expect around 100 Planned Parenthood workers to be included in the union. 22 states raised their minimum wage on New Year's Day, but not Wisconsin, where baseline pay remains at $7.25 an hour. More businesses are raising pay on their own, but not everyone benefits.
For the workers who really have those constraints on opportunity because of their concerns about immigration status, concerns about physical mobility, employers can really take advantage of that.
Laura Dresser is a labor economist who studied the issue for the Center on Wisconsin Strategy. I'm Nate Wegehout, Civic Media News.
Lexi spent more than 6 years in foster care.
Before I was adopted, I felt alone.
With help from the Dave Thomas Foundation for Adoption, Lexi now has a forever family and the foundation for a bright future.
Adoption changed me for the better. I feel like I can be whoever I want to be.
You can help find permanent homes for children still lingering in foster care. Learn more at DaveThomasFoundation.org.
Mostly sunny today. We'll get to around 27 for a high this afternoon with wind out of the southwest at 5 to 10. Tonight it'll be clear. We'll drop to 16. Tomorrow cloudy, 32. Some light snow is possible tomorrow night. And then on Saturday, mostly cloudy. High of 34. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently it's 21.
One in four Americans today are living with a disability. I'm one of them. People with disabilities are extremely talented, resilient problem solvers that have so much to offer. And we've got a trusted ally on our side, an organization we can rely on, Easter Seals. Easter Seals is leading the way to full equity, inclusion, and access to healthcare, employment, and education for people with disabilities, families, and communities. That's my Easter Seals. Make it yours.
Learn more and get involved at EasterSeals.com.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
I was proud to be a soldier.
I told the truth and got kicked out.
And so I thought to myself, I'm taking this rule down.
If you're an LGBTQ+ veteran, your memories are important too.
Share your story with the Library of Congress Veterans History Project, where firsthand accounts from U.S. military veterans are preserved and made accessible for researchers and future generations. Visit loc.gov/vets to submit your stories, photographs, and documents today.
Locally Grown Radio, your home for news, talk, and sports from Rudolph to Nakusa. 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Here we are back for another year with Joseph Pecky on Thursday mornings as we talk about things in the news, mostly around Wisconsin, but beyond the borders as well. Joe, good morning. How are you?
Happy 2024.
Yes.
You know, it's touch and go every day in 2024, I got to say. I'm a little worried about this one.
It's going to be big. It's going to be eventful. And look, we can't leave 2023 yet because it ended with quite a bang. And I don't know that I told the full story, but it happened, of course, at the end of the first week of my 2-week vacation, where I'm down in South Texas and we're driving someplace with the grandkids. And my son-in-law says, "Oh, hey, the Wisconsin Supreme Court just threw out the maps."
Yeah, like, breaking push alert to your phone from the New York Times.
Why are you telling me this right now when I can't possibly do anything about it? But so that was my version. What was your version? Where were you when you heard the news, and what did you expect, or what did you think, I should say?
I was in the Mall of America, actually. We went up to visit my brother and his family in the Twin Cities. And before we went over to their house, because their kids had school on that Friday. So we were at the Mall of America, just shopping until we just about dropped. We had gotten a little bit of a inkling that something was coming Friday. And so we didn't fall over or anything with shock and surprise. But, you know, it changes things. And now everybody's got to figure out what the new reality is.
Well, yes, and to that end, on the new reality, and I know I've sounded a bit like a broken record here, but I just, again, we've had for 12 years now, people got their hopes up that, you know, this would happen or that would happen, and then it didn't happen. And like I've said, I don't put anything past those six right-wing justices on the U.S. Supreme Court. So I guess, can we do it on a 1 to 10 scale? How confident are you that there will be new maps in November of 2024 when all is said and done?
Oh, 7 or 8.
Okay.
I feel pretty confident the maps will be different, mm-hmm. and they will be fairer.
Right.
What I want to be really, really careful about, because I'm not sure that everybody has been clear about this part. Democrats are going to have to go win races. And we're going to have to win races in tough districts. Mm-hmm. That takes candidates who are credible and authentic and fit their districts and are parts of their communities. There is no guarantee that fairer maps mean that all of a sudden the reign of Robin Voss comes to an end, or that we flip the state Senate. There's a ton of work left to do. And what I would caution anybody is, for all of the hooting and hollering and organizing and passion that we threw into getting new maps for the last decade plus, we need even more hooting and hollering and organizing and getting off the sidelines in the next year to actually win contests. That's how this happens. It doesn't happen by itself. And I am the grouch who didn't steal Christmas. But I'm here to remind folks, it can be done. Even under the old maps, Tammy Baldwin won 55 assembly districts in 2018. So it can be done. But anybody who thinks that the fact that we have new maps means the fight is over and all of a sudden we're going to get to have Medicaid expansion and a higher minimum wage and legal cannabis, they're wrong. It's mm-hmm. going to take a lot more work between now and November.
So once those new maps are final, and I know they're talking about sometime in March that they want to get this done, you're saying a lot of people are going to have to move real fast. Parties, county parties, people thinking about running, staffing. A lot is going to happen right away at some point, probably in March.
And honestly, it can't wait until then. And it's not waiting until then. Yeah. You know, I know you had Kristen Lyerly on this week talking about there are people across Northeast Wisconsin and really across the state who are saying things like, I'm willing to step up. I'm willing to consider running if it turns out that the way the lines come down, there's no other Democrat who will step up and run. So some of that work is happening, and that's good because it has to. Because the reality is you can't wake up on March 16th and decide by April 1st whether it's the right decision for you and your family and for the community for you to run for something. So that work is already underway. It has to continue. And, you know, and then the decisions will be easier to make once those lines are actually finalized.
So some of the debate prior to this was, speaking of names on ballots, whether Donald Trump's name should be on a ballot or not. The a special bipartisan committee in Wisconsin has put him on the map. There have been legal challenges, threats of legal challenges here and in other states, but he's going to be there. And yet you still have other Republicans, still your Chris Christie's and whatnot, you know, trying to speak out. And Paul Ryan, again, has emerged. I don't know. He seems to be on some kind of an irregular schedule where he just kind of pops up out of nowhere and said again very recently, the problem with the Republican Party can be summed up in two words, Donald Trump. And my question to you is, when it comes to Paul Ryan doing this, is it a case of why bother or why not?
Welcome to the resistance, Mr. Ryan. We're happy to have you. We told you so for years and years. And to his credit, listen, I disagree with Paul Ryan about basically every policy thing there is, especially domestically. But he, you know, in retrospect, was like one of the most outspoken Republicans, right? He was the guy who said to every Republican member of Congress after the Access Hollywood tapes, don't defend this guy. I'm not going to defend this guy. I'm not going to ask you to. He disinvited him from Wisconsin in 2016. And so, you know, listen, it's a low bar, but Paul Ryan has been among the most strident critics of Donald Trump for the last 7 or 8 years, however long he's been polluting our politics. But the question is, why now? And I hear you on the why not, but listen, whether it's the three young women who served in the Trump administration appearing on This Week last weekend, showing more courage than 99% of elected Republicans in warning what a second Trump presidency would look like, whether it is Paul Ryan speaking up now, we're like less than 2 weeks away from the Iowa caucuses. So if anybody's got anything that they think the American people should know about Donald Trump, now's as good a time as any. Come on in. The water's fine. We have to make sure people understand the threat here because it is a threat.
And yet you had instances this week of other, you know, well-regarded Republicans in Republican circles, you know, Tom Emmer from Minnesota being the most recent who
Steve Scalise.
Yeah. These are people who have been humiliated by Trump in the past, and yet this week came out and said they're on Team Trump. And then you've got your Ron Johnsons out there. And here in Ron Johnson is somebody who has bragged about killing any kind of a border deal at the southern border, even as the new Speaker of the House and other members of Congress are down at the southern border doing another publicity stunt. Is Ron Johnson actually hurting their cause by showing what a stunt this all is for them when it comes to immigration and border security?
Well, he should be. And, you know, listen, like, for time immemorial, from the founding of this country, there have been really, really contentious disagreements and fights over policy in Congress. It's like the American way. And I know it seems worse than it's ever been because of the information environment we live in. It's probably about as bad as it's ever been, but it's not the worst. And what's different, though, is you have people like Senator Ron Johnson who will just come out and tell you, I'm not a good faith actor. I'm not making my argument in good faith to try and get to any kind of solution. I am here to, and this is, you know, the Batman, the Dark Knight reference emerging for our film buffs. He's just a guy who wants to watch the world burn. He would rather have the issue. He would rather have rabid ultra MAGA Republicans to be really, really pissed off about something than to actually solve this. And on the other side of the table, you've got Democrats like Joe Biden who are saying more money for border security, more money for agents, more money for judges to process these folks, faster turnaround time to get folks who claim asylum back into a courtroom. And rather than negotiate in good faith, Ron Johnson is just basically saying, no, I'm going to flip the table because I want my guy, Donald Trump, back in there, who this week Donald Trump has said he is looking forward to deportations like you've never seen before on day one. And listen, you might believe in good conscience that the U.S. is going to have to send some folks back to their countries of origin. But to find glee and take pleasure in celebrating the notion of the state rounding people up, forcing them onto planes and trains and boats, and against their will, displacing them from the land of the free and the home of the brave, if that's what you get off on, you need to take a long, hard look in the mirror.
But will they?
Ron Johnson sure won't.
No. And that's where, again, we can be as mad about it as we want, but then it's got to turn into action. And that's what this comes down to. I don't know if you've ever seen the diagram that I've made when we talk about the target audience for a program like this. You've got your left and right, of course, going across the horizontal, and top to bottom, you've got your, at the top, people who vote all the time, and then you've got people who vote some of the time, and then people who vote never. And your Democratic base, of course, is up in the upper left. They're on the left side. They vote all the time. The base upper right, you know, they vote all the time, and they're far to the right. But then there's those people in the corners. They're far to the left or they're far to the right, but they're down in the lower corner because they never, ever vote. And those people, I have no time for. They're the people who just get angry at their TV, and or they even listen to radio shows like this and get angry. And I'm only calling you folks out, if there's one or two of you out there like that, to say, listen to Joe's words and don't just shake your fist at the radio.
Right. These are the folks who will say things like the two sides are the same. No, they're not. Mm-hmm. They're just not. Not on immigration, not on access to reproductive health care, not on, you know, how to grow an economy, not on the minimum wage, not on cannabis, not on, you know, issue after issue. The two parties are not the same, period.
I got one more I want to ask you about, and I normally would wait till closer to April, but this got mentioned on the show yesterday with our guest from the League of Women Voters, and I thought it was worth bringing up again here today. The question being, should Democrats cross over in the Wisconsin presidential primary, you know, for whatever reason? And you could say the same about, you know, Republicans in a Democratic primary. Again, it's all about, you know, making mischief or helping any kind of an influence. As somebody who is much more deeply engaged than the average bear, when somebody asks you that, what do you tell them?
I tell them to cut the monkey business. Mm-hmm. If they, like, listen, if somebody really, truly believes that the most important thing that they can do with their vote is try to prevent Donald Trump from being the Republican nominee, and they want to go, you know, they're a Democrat who wants to go vote for Nikki Haley or Ron DeSantis with no intention of voting for anybody other than Joe Biden in the fall. Like, I can understand that, and I'm not going to lecture anybody about that. But do not pretend for a moment that you are part of some grand conspiracy or some plot to deliver the nomination to a candidate who's weaker or stronger or more likely to lose. Don't. Vote your conscience. And if you plan to vote for a candidate in the fall in the general election, I think generally the rule should be that you should vote in that party's primary. But again, I understand where folks are coming from, and I'll cop to the very first time I voted was the presidential election of 2000, and I was a big Bill Bradley fan. But Al Gore had already dispensed of Bill Bradley. The Republican nomination fight was continuing through Wisconsin in early April. And I was not a fan of George W. Bush, but I really, really liked John McCain and his legacy of service to this country. And so I voted in the Republican primary in 2000. because I thought John McCain was a better man and would make a better president than George W. Bush, even though in the fall I ultimately ended up voting for Al Gore and probably would have voted for Gore over John McCain. So I can understand it. I just wouldn't make a habit of it. And again, it's, don't make yourself out to be some type of big, you know, schemer and plotter with strategery. That's not how this works.
That's right. Joseph Becky, as always, thank you so much. Have a good start to the weekend.
Happy New Year.
And still to come, Kristen Lierley on encouraging women to run for office in 2024. Mark Jacob on the right wing's manufactured outrage machine. Brittany Merlot's forecast and Luke Mathers all coming up. You're up north.
You're listening to Locally Grown Radio, WFHR.
If I could be you.
And you could be me.
For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way.
To get inside.
Each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer committed to diversity and inclusion, along with the growth and development of all current and future employees. If you're interested or are part of an organization who wants to know more, go to our website, civicmedia.us, and click on the Careers tab.
This is Locally Grown Radio, WFHR.
It's just about 6:51 here on Up North News Radio. Kristen Lierley joins us from the beautiful Fox Valley. How are you?
You always know it's going to be a good day when you start it with the Beatles.
Yes. Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds was an Elton John hit in 1975, went to number one on this day. Originally, of course, part of the Beatles' Sgt. Pepper album in 1967. You were away from home for a couple of weeks on a work assignment. Good to be back.
Oh, it's so good to be back. There is just something about sleeping in your own bed.
Yes. I know. Even, you know, we had a great 2 week vacation, but yeah, to get back in your own bed again.
Oh, with your own pillow.
Like yep. Which is exactly what Maybell says, you know, whenever Greg leaves the house. Sure, she's got her own little dog bed in the corner, but you know she jumps up on his bed and goes, "Ah, there's nothing like your own bed."
She's got two dog beds and she ventures upstairs, but she's not allowed in the bedroom yet.
Okay.
No, that yet. Might,
no, that'll. I know that'll
sounds,
happen.
I'm sounds not, like courtship or something. I'm I don't not, know. Just
that's weird.
Patrick. Patrick.
Anyway.
No, she will be. She's got to get, you know, a little more training. But she's adorable. I'll send you pictures.
Yeah, you should. We don't. We need a show page where people can just do that. Mm-hmm. Interesting musical note here. On this day in 1973, 51 years ago, in Madison, Neil Young kicked off his Time Fades Away tour. His opening act was an unknown singer named Linda Ronstadt.
Really?
She was used to playing clubs, but on the tour, she won over crowds with her, what's the right adjective? I put amazing voice.
Oh.
Heaven sent.
Phenomenal. Yeah. Haunting. Yep. Gorgeous.
And then the following year, she released her breakthrough album, Heart Like a Wheel. But can you imagine hearing her as an unknown and going, whoa, who's this?
I mean, even more so, you take it one step deeper and you're like, oh, man, I really like her backup band. Well, they went on to become the Eagles.
Right?
I know.
That whole group. And who else was involved? Wasn't Jackson Browne involved?
Jackson Browne, James Taylor.
J.D. Souther.
Carole King was woven in there as well, but you know, some folks
into the tapestry.
I was gonna say, good work.
I was trying to make the point that some were West Coast, you know, they came through the Troubadour, others like Carole King came through the Brill Building out in New York, but they would obviously find ways to get together, and what a magical generation, you know, that was. More birthdays today. Patti Loveless, country singer, is 67 and had this hit that's still a favorite of mine.
I try to think about Elvis, Memphis, Oprah in the afternoon. I try to think about
so happy birthday to Patty Lovelace. This is the anniversary of the birth of Sterling Holloway. You may not know him, but boy, you sure know his voice. He was in over 100 movies, dozens of TV shows, primarily as the voice of Winnie the Pooh. He's the one who had that very distinctive voice. He was the Cheshire Cat. He was the snake in Jungle Book. Just a fantastic voice actor. Passed away back in 1992. REM frontman Michael Stipe is 64 years old today and gave us the forever musical question.
REM is the reason that I went to the University of Georgia for a couple semesters.
Wow. Wait, why? Draw that line for him. Connect those dots.
They're from Athens, yeah. And they were on the cover of Rolling Stone, and I really loved their music, and they talked about how much they enjoyed Athens and what the community was like, and I was like, I was looking for something different to do in college, so I decided to go to Athens, Georgia.
That's cool.
Nice.
I saw them on their last tour as a four-piece.
They were amazing. And Michael Stipe is like reinventing himself. He's working on an album.
Nice. Oh,
good on him. And of course, for folks who might not know, the backstory of the title of the song was when some mentally disturbed individual attacked Dan Rather as he was walking along in New York City and kept asking him that question as he was accosting him. And a song was born. The Doors released their self-titled debut album on this day in 1967, which included Light My Fire. On this day in 1972, Yes released Roundabout. We heard that earlier. Dina Carter, another country singer. She is 58 years old today and gave us this hit. Many a slow barn dance came to this Dina Carter, who had one of the greatest album titles in history. Did I shave my legs for this? On this day in 1968, UCLA announced that future music students would have to study the music of the Rolling Stones because of their impact on music history. On this day in 1999... Actually, I'm going to hit both 1999 and 2007 because these would have been days in early January when, you know, new congresses and legislatures were sworn in. So on this day in 1999, people were still agape that former professional wrestler Jesse Ventura had won election and on this day was sworn in as governor of Minnesota in 1999.
Yeah.
I'll never forget the newscasters that night, myself included on air that night, going, you are not going to believe what the voters just did in Minnesota. And all these years later, I don't know that they believe what they did. But also, on this day in 2007, following the 2006 elections, not only was a much younger Pat Kreitlow sworn into the Wisconsin legislature, but Nancy Pelosi became the first female Speaker of the House in U.S. history on this day, which, Kristen, takes us very nicely into what you'll be talking about in our next hour.
We have yet to have a female Speaker of the House in Wisconsin. But
that's right.
We're working on it. That's what 2024 is all about. 2024 is the year of women in Wisconsin. And we are going to highlight some of those women, highlight some of the women who are in leadership and highlight some of the women who are hoping to be in leadership come fall.
Yep. So look for that coming up at 7:30 on this January 4th, which tells me today is World Braille Day because the inventor of Braille was born on this day. This is National Spaghetti Day for reasons unknown. And then these go hand in hand. It's National Can Do Day and it's National Weigh-In Day. So get yourself weighed in and then go, I can do it. So
I bought myself a new fancy Garmin watch to help with fitness tracking.
It helps. You know, I was looking at mine yesterday going, only got in 3,000 steps. I can do better. Kristen says she's going to be my coach and advisor.
I got you. Yeah. I got you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but see, you can track it all you want. The question is it changing your behavior?
See, that's the thing. That's the thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what we've got to fix. So we'll work on fixing ourselves in the new year, and we'll take a pause here. And when we come back, more from Kristen Lairley. But first, our friend Mark Jacob, who's normally here on Fridays, but joins us a day early to talk about headlines in the news. Coming up next, you're up north. We had to go.
and letters and one long distance call. We drift.
Your hometown news talk and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Don't let biased algorithms or degree screens or exclusive professional networks or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
WFHR Wisconsin Rapids 1320 AM and W248DE broadcasting at 97.5 FM.